another week and another Eagles victory. Yes, you heard it right here on the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby. The Eagles are 5-0. Let the music play. That is right. I said it. And, it was a tough one. It wasn't an easy game by any stretch of the imagination. I watched it back again today, and I was shocked that we made it out of that game alive, man. That was not an easy one.
Yeah.
But it's what good teams do, I guess. I mean, at this point of the season, people forget, and we'll talk about this tonight. At this part of the season last year, we were 2-4. At this point, and then ended up 2-5 before they won another game. You can't take this for granted. This was a huge win. And the Eagles won at Arizona 2017 on a missed field goal at the end of the game. Actually, the word is today, and we'll talk about it a little bit more, Milton Williams may have blocked it. A lot of people think Milton Williams got it, got a piece of it. Looks that way. So a blocked field goal propels the Eagles to victory. And, it is what good teams do. This game, and what it reminded me of was, you probably remember it, in the 2017 season, I think it was around week 4 or 5 when the Eagles went to LA to play the Chargers on the road. And the Chargers were pretty decent at that time. And the Eagles were in a battle. This is after the 60-yard Jake Elliott field goal to beat the Giants. They're 2-1. They need this. They need to keep this momentum going, because the Eagles just didn't cakewalk people back in 2017. They won some good games like this, and LeGarrette Blount gets in the game and just took over. Long freaking drive all the way down the field, grounded out all the clock, and ends up beating the Chargers, and it was great. And this is what the Eagles did with the Cardinals, and 5-0, baby. There it is. You got to love it. You got to love it. And so we got to enjoy it while we can. I know it seems crazy, but it is. It's something to enjoy right now, because we got Dallas coming up. So anything can happen. Just enjoy it.
Yeah, man. 5-0 has an incredible ring to it. You love to see it. Yeah, man, it is. They need to update my fantasy football points too. If Milton did get that block, because I was shorted, I didn't get my credit for my fantasy football block in my other league. I just wanted to make that point before I go forward, because fantasy football is important. But yeah, man, we talked about earlier in the year, can we win close games too? Like, it's easy when you're playing teams that I guess in hindsight you should have beaten, knowing how well we can play now. And then you grind one out. This Cardinal team, that's not a slouch of a team. This is a solid team. I did think that Sirianni met his coaching match. I thought Kingsbury coached really well in the second half. I thought he made some really good adjustments, Kingsbury. That going forward on fourth down,
the fake punt.
The fake punt, fake punt on fourth down. But it shows that Kingsbury was locked in. He made some really good moves. Kyler missed a couple balls here and there, but I think we held him in check for most of the game until we got a little comfortable. But the whole 5-0 ring to it, man, is more importantly, we've won our third away game. Winning away, just keep winning away, winning those away games. Those are big deals. Going into Arizona, flying across the country, and going into Arizona and getting that dub, and then come back to Philly for these old cowgirls that think they're so good right now, because they are playing well. Yeah, but hell of a start to the Eagles, man. Hell of a start. Three away wins. is amazing, and it's a good feeling, man. You know, have your team 5-0. Yeah, man. And the Phillies won today too, beat the Braves.
Yeah,
so
which was
yeah,
again, I mean, surprising.
Hey, I mean, hey, we rolling, man.
Good
so
things.
Life is good, man.
Good.
Life is good in Philly right now for Philly sports right now, man. It's a beautiful thing, man.
Good
you
things.
Have to enjoy it, man.
Oh yeah, yeah. Good things happening right now. And if Tubby sounds a little off, it's because he's on vacation right now, and he's dedicated, so he's calling in. So that we could do this. So that's why he doesn't sound as professional as he normally does. But you know who's not really happy with 5-0? Our quarterback.
Who?
Our quarterback. He said after the game, the press conference was brilliant. It's every time he opens his mouth, I love hearing this guy speak. Mm-hmm. And because he's saying the right things, man. And people don't appreciate it as much as they should. People were like, how's it feel to be 5-0? He said, I hate hearing 5-0. I don't like to hear it because nobody wanted to mention the record when we were 2-5. Nobody wanted to talk about that, so I don't want to hear it now. Can we come in here and control the things that we can attack every day and just grow and climb? That's what matters, the process. He walked off that field just like he walks off every time the Eagles win, and he's not satisfied. I want a quarterback like that. I want a quarterback that's like, look, we did not play the best that we could play. They could have put, and let's be honest, he's right. They could have put that game away much earlier. They could have put it away in the first half. I mean, they could have put it away
absolutely.
when CeeDee Deuce got the pick on the Cardinals' second possession. And it just didn't happen. You know, and that was just a crazy weird 3-and-out after that. First of all, let me talk about that real quick. I'm gonna touch on this and then I'm gonna get it off my chest because the refs don't get a D grade from me, but they get a C minus. These refs, they were letting Atlanta get away with a lot of holding, yet they're calling the Eagles for it. For the most part, they kept their flags in their pocket, but they made some critically bad calls, and one of them was on the CJ Gardner-Johnson interception because he skies for the pick. Cardinal wide receiver like grazes him. He's not on the ground yet. And the guy from the Cardinals had no impact on him falling to the ground. So it's not like he was shoved to the ground by the Cardinals receiver. He was grazed in midair while he was coming down with the pick. He makes the pick. He falls down on his own accord, gets up and runs to the 50. And those stupid officials, after marking it at the 50, come back and go, oh, no, we're going to mark him down by contact at the 35. Bull crap.
Yeah.
Watch the replay. I watched it back. I watched it several times from many different angles. And there is no way that should have been called down at the 35. No way. Another one that they missed big time, and I mean big time, was the holding call on the Sanders run when we really needed a touchdown.
Yeah.
Sanders runs inside. I watched that one back 5-6 times. Sanders gets down to the goal line. He gets within the 3 yards. And those refs called holding on Suopeta. I challenge you, watch it back. And you tell me where the holding is. There's three linemen right there. And the only one who grabs is the Cardinal defensive end. Only one. So it's like, where are you seeing this? And it was like, are you just guessing because it's a big scrum? Because it made no sense to me. Now, the holding call that they gave on Brown later when Hurts was running for the end zone, that was clearly holding.
Yeah.
Hurts to A.J. Brown tackled his man in the end zone. But that was rare.
Right.
So most of the calls they made, I hate being that guy that's like, oh, the refs. Those were two really, really, really bad calls because after CeeDee Deuce got the interception and they you know, have a Hurts run for about 3 yards, Sanders takes it down to within third and one, and then Hurts slips on the natural grass. And he would have had the first down if he didn't slip there.
Yeah.
And they end up having to punt, killed the momentum. When they had gone up 7-0, they could have easily been up 14. So Hurts is right, man. There was so many, and there was throughout the game, there's so many instances of that where the Eagles just came up. They just weren't playing to perfection. You and I were texting back and forth about it. They just weren't playing up to the standard that they have been playing every single game this year. And I don't think it was anything the Cardinals were doing special. They were just not completely present. Maybe looking forward to Dallas. Maybe looking forward. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not sure, you know, if they were looking ahead. But, you know, just little mistakes happen. You know, I thought what was underrated was the Devontae Smith drop. You know, even though it seems harmless, but if he catches that, that's a different ball. It was like the holding penalty or like, you know, you have these different outcomes. That's an easy catch for him. And you can tell almost immediately he was just like, I cannot believe this. I just dropped this ball.
Yeah.
If he catches that, it's a whole different ball game, man. And I think we keep that momentum. We get more points there and we're just rolling. But, you know, Jalen did have that slip, but he changed his cleats. I saw him at the end of the game. I said, wait a minute, because he had on the he wears the Jordan 11s. Like, those are where they are. They're Jordan number 11s. If you know, you know. And he slipped in those cleats. And you see him when he comes off the field, because it was like an Eagles home game. Remember when he walked off the field, walked through the tunnel, and he seen all those Eagles fans, and he was like, let's go. It was like an Eagles home game in there. But you know, when he ran off, he had completely different cleats on than those 11s that he started the game in. So, and like you said, man, playing on that natural grass, you know, he couldn't really dig in. But let me ask you this question. Did Hurts look a little slower than normal this week? I don't know what it was about. Even on the A.J. Brown holding call, like I thought he could have just scored there, but he kind of ran out of bounds. I was like, what's going on with Jalen? And then later on in the game, well, I also thought he could have just cut up and score. He kind of just got the first down, but he looked slow doing it. I was like, man, Jalen's kind of out there just like I don't know if he's laboring something, but don't want it to be noticeable. But he doesn't have that boom burst. I noticed a couple times he got out in the field, he just got down, which is perfect. You definitely want to do that. But I thought he was just moving slower than normal. And I'm just like, man, this is, you know, only week five. Are all those runs catching up on it? Because if you notice, man, we've crept back into the double-digit Hurts runs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, crept back versus, you know, disguising better plays or having better hot routes. Or we're going back to these runs. And it's like, man, you really need Jalen. Yeah. So, I mean, should he run last? I mean, he's just up there in the carries.
Basically. Well, yeah.
He's just up there.
Look at it. It's
15 carries.
Yeah.
Last game. And I get it. We needed it. A lot of them were first down pushes and goal line pushes. But, man, I just hope that doesn't bite us, man. I just hope it doesn't bite us. I would rather take the Kyler Murray. I know I asked you a question, but I'd rather take the Kyler Murray approach and just remember that play when Kyler first ran the game. It was like perfect time run. Mm-hmm. He just got the ball. They empty set. And I'm like, man, either he's going to run it straight up a draw or a hot route. Like he has no blocking back there. And boom, it was like the most perfect run you could have called at that time. It was like it was a perfect play call. That's why I said Kingsbury, you know, I thought he called a really good game. But 15 carries last game, I think Jalen had 16. I just don't want it to catch up to us, that's all.
Right.
But do you think he's labored? Go on.
Well, first of all, on the Kyler Murray thing, I thought that the defensive front five, because they did a lot of five-man rushes, were responsible for keeping him from taking off. They did play that pocket. They didn't try to sack him. You know, I think Hassan Reddick had a really nice sack, but otherwise they kept him, they played contained until they went to that soft zone in the fourth quarter. And that's when you saw Kyler start to take off, which was just bad. It was just, we changed our defense up and it was just not the right time. And it could have killed us, could have really killed us. As far as the Jalen thing, I don't know if he's maybe hurt. I think you've got a point. I think maybe someone said for him to stop taking hits and start heading upfield. Maybe somebody's getting in his ear about, you know, running out of bounds and making the smart move because it's a long season. Or maybe he's taking it upon himself to go, hey, I'm going to run this, you know, this angle route out of, you know, and if I have to go out of bounds, I have to go out of bounds. But yeah, he didn't like, I don't know. It could be a fear of injury, could be something. I thought he ran really well. There, you know, granted, like I said, there was four sneaks. So you got to take those out of the equation. And let's just talk about the sneaks real quick. Thank you. Because we've been a really good team. And, you know, it's the fact that you're on the goal line, and this is the first one here where Goddard basically picks him up and carries him into the end zone, and a Gainwell push him from behind like your 120-pound butt's going to do anything. But anyway, I love the fact that they when they got within a yard, they just like, you know, if it's second and one, we're going to keep sneaking it till we get the first down. So many times did they outthink themselves last year, and it frustrated us. Because we know that there's a potential for Jalen to get hurt on a sneak, but it isn't as bad as if he's behind that big offensive line. And you've got it, use it. And I think one of the things that frustrated us was the fact that they didn't do the sneaks when they needed to, and they tried to do some sort of stupid. Remember the stretch play? Always the stretch play on second and one and third and one. Never works because you're stretching your offensive line out. But the sneak, they've learned from it. And I say keep doing it. In fact, our boy who we usually feature on the podcast occasionally with his video of cheering on the Eagles, Rob McElhenney from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and Welcome to Wrexham, owner of the Wrexham Club with Ryan Reynolds, tweeted out during the game, "I'm so happy that the first NFL coach in history to figure out you can get 1 yard every single time with the same play happens to coach the Eagles, fly, Eagles, fly." I think that's a great take because they did it twice in the first half to get touchdowns. Yeah. I'm all for it. I'm not worried about fantasy numbers. I mean, if you've got Jalen Hurts, great. You don't care. But I'm not worried about handing off to Sanders there. I'm worried about getting the touchdowns, and that's what they did. Right. So I think other than that, though, Jalen had some really conscious runs. There were times where he could have taken off that he didn't. And he tried to pass it. The only thing I'm concerned about Jalen is the near pick that happened in the first half where he seems to have a trouble reading cover three when teams back into cover three. So I saw Edge of Philly Sports today put a really good video on it. I'm like, yeah, that's true. But it's a minor thing compared to all the other great throws he makes throughout the game. But it's one of those things like if a team comes up on the line and they're showing man and they back out of it, Jalen gets zeroed in to I'm throwing to that crossing route or I'm throwing to that guy coming over the middle, and he doesn't see that slot corner. It happened in Jacksonville with the pick six, and it nearly happened in the Arizona game where the slot corner backs up and he's in perfect spot to make a play. And that's my only really concern. But I think Jalen is such a student of the game right now. He's watching that tape. He knows what he's doing, and I think that it's best for that to happen now because I think he'll clean it up. He is still one of the best quarterbacks in the league as far as protecting the football, so I don't really have a problem. There's not a turnover issue there. I think that and he could have been saving himself for Dallas too. Maybe we'll see some of those intense runs against
Dallas. With that play, I thought it was a solid read. I think if the ball is a foot higher, we're not even talking about it because it was the right read. The receiver was open. He just didn't get the ball. The ball just, he kind of just practiced through it. If you watch Jalen, if he just steps and throw the ball, it gets there. So I don't think the read was wrong. I thought it was a great read. I thought he did a good job on that play because there are always going to be that slot there. Remember the Maddox interception that he caught earlier in the year where he sinks back and makes the catch, boom?
Yeah, that was a great
I think
play.
If Jalen throws it high like that, it's a great play because that guy are going to be in there. I just think it was all in. I don't think it was the read. I just think it was all in the execution. All Jalen has to do is instead of going like this, he just got overconfident for a second because he is having such a great season and he's passing the ball so well. I think if that ball, I mean, because that was an amazing interception. I mean, it wasn't like it was like bop right.
Well, except until he dropped it.
Stretched back, dove. Yeah. Right, for sure. But he dove, stretched back. If he puts that ball a foot higher, that happens in the NFL.
More now, to the sideline, too. More to the sideline.
Now, Jacksonville, it was a bad read because you're thrown in a double coverage.
Yeah.
So that's a bad read versus a bad throw. I thought the one against Arizona last week was a bad throw. And it just looked, I mean, you even texted, that's a lazy throw because it was the throw.
Right.
You know, that really, like I said, he puts that ball a foot higher. You know, a lot of quarterbacks do it, man. You put that ball a foot higher, it's the right play. It's the right he's right open. Boom. He has to beat one person. It's kind of not terrible to go to that slot because if you can get it over the slot and you beat that safety, he's gone. So it's a high risk, high reward type of play, and it just wasn't executed well with the throw. I think if he like you said, he's going to look at that tape, and he's not going to make that as overconfident of a throw. He's going to step into it, fire it, get it there, and I think we can have some success with that play, man. Yeah, man, so even starting out, man, well, you know, Goddard had a hell of a game, too.
He did.
You know, I thought Goddard had, I called him top five. The commentators are catching up a little bit, but I had him top five since the draft because this guy can do everything. He'll have some key drops. That's his only thing is like the moment drops. He'll be like, oh, man. But I think I think he's right there with the best of them. I mean, he's not in the same tier as probably a Kelce. Because Kelce's just an incredible yards after the catch type of play. I mean, Kelce's a freak, man. but Goddard, man, 8 catches, 95 yards. I mean, that's a hell of a day from a tight end. Have a day. And, I thought AJ had some key catches. But Devontae Smith had a good game overall, too. Man. I thought he played well.
Yep.
You take that one drop away, one. It's always the easy ones, like the one with Goddard last week. It's like it's right there. Your chest. It's always the easy ones,
yeah,
that they struggle with, man. But this was a tough one.
It was
Cardinals are 0-3 at home.
Yeah, right now. And that was I think that was one of the things that had them fired up was that they haven't won at home in a very long time, and they were determined to win this game, and that's what I was afraid of it as far as the leading into the Cowboys being a trap. I'm sure glad they survived it. I know it wasn't pretty. It was ugly. But you're right. A.J. Brown had a really good first drive for the Eagles, and then they started to double him. And what worked for the Eagles, and I think it's what this approach they're doing each and every week, was I thought they relied on it a little too much. In the first half, it worked really well. The screen passes to Goddard and Smith. There was so many wide receiver screens and then Dallas in the backfield catching the ball. But by the second half, Arizona was reading them. And at one point, they were calling them out. They were calling them out, and the Eagles were still going to them. And there was that one play where the Eagles were down on, you know, inside the near the red zone. And it cost them a chance at a touchdown because they called out that the screen was coming to Devontae. And Hurts threw it anyway. Nobody audibled out of it. And Devontae got lit up. And that could have been bad. He got lit up. Ended up taking him, you know, to where they had to settle for a field goal.
But that was all on, to me, that was all on Watkins. Because if you look, you got two men out there, right? And you have two players. You have Smith and you have his corner. Then you have Watkins in his corner. Watkins' corner made the tackle. That's poor execution on Watkins' part. That has nothing to do. It's just my opinion on as far as like, because I watched that play and I was like, first I'm like, dang, blew it up. But I'm like, Watkins did. So the play looks bad when you don't execute, you know?
Right.
And if Watkins blocks his guy, Smith uses that to get around. Watkins doesn't execute well. He doesn't block at all.
Yeah.
These guys are going to play up. And if they, especially if they're pressing. But even when they called out the screen, like so, you know, with that play, I just thought Watkins should have blocked way, way, way better. I did think we went to the short stuff too quickly, especially if they weren't blitzing. Like the timing of it was a bit weird to go to that play. I do agree, but yeah, man, if AJ Brown's over there, maybe that block is made. If Pascal's over there, maybe the block is made. But it's hard for me to get on Jalen about that play, or even Smith, or even the coach. When Watkins doesn't make his block,
I understand.
You know, you can have a good play call, but you have to make that block. And I think if Watkins just makes the block, I think it could be a more explosive play.
Well,
this goes to execution. I wish we had that play. It's so,
yeah,
I mean, he almost pushes him right into Devontae.
Right.
he almost helps him, pushes him.
I get that.
Devontae.
I get that. My point is that if the defense knows it's coming, it's going to give them an up on the snap to be able to cut inside. Because I was saying that a lot of times it was easy to see that was what they were doing, the screens. The Eagles were still running them, and they were still converting them because the play design. But there's only so many times that you can run those plays over and over before defense completely adjusts and sells out on them. Yeah. What I was kind of noticing was toward the end of the game, they were running a lot of 11 – 12 setups where they had a couple of tight ends in on the offensive line, and I was like, where is our spread offense? Where is our three wide receivers? But it seemed like they went really conservative because they were afraid of the blitz. They were afraid of getting Jalen killed because the Cardinals front wasn't bringing it as much as they could have. And we were kind of playing like they were going to. And it kind of surprised me that we didn't go downfield to Smith at all, that they didn't go downfield to AJ at all. So it was like,
unbelievable.
You're playing this game plan, and I get that Stichen came in there with a game plan to win. They won, but it could have been so much better and easier. I think they made it harder on themselves by not trying to threaten at least throw downfield to threaten Arizona. They made it easy on the defense. So that's something they can't do against Dallas's defense. I know Dallas defense, they got DeMarcus Lawrence. They got friggin' Micah Parsons going to be coming in on the sides. They can't just not abandon the air game because they're worried about a blitz or worried about Jalen getting sacked. They're going to have to air it out because that's where you can attack Dallas is in their deep coverage. Their corners, you may not want to attack them, but you can get them deep on those safeties. So,
It's crazy how much we attacked Washington deep and then almost didn't even try the Cardinals at all. I noticed that. So I was like, damn, we're not even going to try them deep. So it's to your point, like they start asking, the defense, I mean, even the play that they got all excited and called it out, they still called the wrong fucking play because we got a first down. It went to the opposite side, first down. So whatever they called, they was hooping and hollering, but they didn't call out the right audible. You can hoop and holler all you want, but if you get a first down that play, you didn't recognize the play and you didn't execute the audible. So I know they thought they saw something, but it just went right to Smith, boop, 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 first down. You didn't see anything. They were wrong. They didn't shift. You know, to know a play, you would have shift, right? They did none of those things that would be, consistent with somebody that I know this play is coming, but boom, boom, first down. I think Devontae gets like 13 yards off of it. So they didn't know anything. Shout out to Stetson too, man. Since Stetson has taken over the play calling, I think we're like 15-3.
Yeah.
Since Stetson has taken over, shout out to Stetson, man. I mean, because the offense does look different this year.
It does.
You know, It does. And you can see the shift from obviously, in hindsight, Sirianni to, Sirianni, I think he gave it up in like week 10 or 11 or something like that, maybe earlier than that. And then the Eagles kind of went on that run and made the playoffs once Sirianni just went to just head coaching versus and letting his coordinators, his respective coordinators, do their job, Stetson. And I think this had a lot of help, man. Shout out to Stetson. Yeah. Shit, man. Yep. He's like I said, right now, since he's been calling plays, the Eagles have only lost about three games, I think.
Yeah. He's been
if I'm looking at it correctly. So shout out to Stetson, man.
So here are the team stats real quick, and it kind of shows that it was something we haven't talked about is the Cards did seem like the Cards were moving the ball better than the scoreboard showed. And I think that was the interceptions and then timely blitzes. I'm not going to give Gannon on too hard because you can't complain when somebody only gives up 17 points and not a lot of time of possession. The Eagles held the time of possession by almost 10 points down there, 34-25. But toward the end, that shell zone coverage at the end of the game nearly destroyed us. So you see, the Eagles only had one more first down than the Cardinals, 24-23. Third down efficiency, that's bad right here. 8-14 for the Cardinals, 6-13 for the Eagles. Fourth down efficiency, both of them 1-for-1. Total yards, they beat us in total yards, beat 363-357. Passing yards, 239-218. The Cardinals had the edge there. Rushing yards, slight edge to the Eagles, 139-124. Total plays, slight edge to the Eagles, 71-69. Completion attempts, 26-36 and 28-42 for the Cardinals. They had the one big turnover. They only were sacked once. Hurts only sacked twice. So penalties, not very many, like I mentioned. The Eagles had three penalties on them for 30 yards, but two of them were ghost penalties, in my opinion. The one to Opetta definitely was a ghost penalty. So when you look at like Kyler Murray's final numbers, he was 28-42, 66 completion percentage for 250 yards. Rushing game, you just had two, you know, you had Connor with 55 yards. Benjamin had the touchdown and 25 yards, and Murray had 42 yards rushing himself. You know, receiving yards, you know, they had Hollywood Brown on that, their first touchdown, burning Epps. Nothing you can do about that. Just blazed over the right in front of Epps' face, and then no one was there to make the tackle. Again, that was that shell coverage, that soft zone. They didn't put Epps in a position to make a play, because if you remember in the second half, Epps is, you know, playing in man coverage on Ertz and actually knocks the ball away from him in a big play. So it has nothing to do with Epps. It has the fact that Epps was deep off the ball and can't do anything. So the numbers, you know, for the Cards aren't great, but it did seem like when they had the ball, they were moving it several times and moving it with ease. And I think it was because Gannon was switching it up. I was watching his defense when I watched it back today, and I was watching five men rushes. And then in the first half, except for the drive where the Cards scored, they kind of kept the Cards off balance with the five man rushes, keeping them in the pocket. And then they had a third and long that blew me away when they lined everybody up on the line of scrimmage. I'm like, is this the Eagles defense? Because that sure ain't Gannon's defense. And it messed Murray up because the ball was hiked. He didn't know where the blitz was going to come from. Everybody backs out except for the five that were rushing, and Murray has to throw it away. And I'm like, why aren't we doing that more often rather than this shell coverage that we did? Because, you know, it killed us near the end of the half, where, you know, where we ended up having to the Cards get the ball, they had the fake punt and everything, and they just kept moving the ball, and we were lucky on that drive with the shell coverage that they ran out of time, because if they were at the goal line with not enough time to run another play and had to settle to make the game 14-10 at the half, that easily could have been, you know, 17, or it could have been 14 all at that point. And that would have been a much different ballgame.
Kyler goes head first.
Yeah.
If Kyler goes head first there, it's, I think he's still just, they probably run one more play. They clock it second down, probably run one play. If they don't get the touchdown, you know, winner, they'll probably kick that field goal. That was huge, man. Even from the come up and clock it, that was a mistake too. Cause it's like, bro, you don't clock it.
No.
Don't clock it. So we put him in a haste at the end because we had an incredible drive before that. Even though it only ended in the field goal, it's like, man, this is where our execution comes in. It's like, we can't end drives in field goals, man. You know, especially not the game winners. However, it was one of the best drives they had put together the whole game. I think we had to ball for about what? There you have it. seven minutes and 58 seconds. That is
that's crazy.
That's exceptional.
That's
exceptional.
It's 17 plays.
It's damn near an entire quarter of football.
Yeah.
And it shows that when they really get focused and locked in, they do things differently from last year.
Yeah.
Like maybe we would have fumbled or an interception, something crazy on that last drive, and we don't go 8 minutes. We did the same thing against the Lions to close out that game. These are just steps that the Eagles are showing and improving on. Last year, you know, we may have lost that Lions game because we might have gave the ball back too quick and then they go down and score. Last year, we may have just let the Cardinals just score, you know, in general. They could have scored a touchdown because of how our defense played.
Yep.
But this year, I think the Detroit game, we closed out in, 7 minutes, 58 seconds, 17 points. To run 17 plays on a drive,
yeah.
I mean, that's like, that's efficient, you know, while you're still, we know what you're trying to do. We know you're trying to burn clock. The one thing that really got under my skin with the defense was how we played Hollywood Brown.
Yeah.
I just thought we just gave him too many cheap ones. You know, 8 catches, 78 yards, and the touchdown. And I just felt like they were so cheap, what he got. He was just able to just run so free. to just run free underneath. I just couldn't understand it at times where I'm just like, he's just running through the zone. He's just running through he's not even covered. Somebody is always 3 or 4 yards away. Then you have to come up and make this hero tackle. I thought, you know, to your point, like, that soft coverage, you got guys playing back. So far, they get the Cardinals did a good job, especially with Benjamin, just getting the ball in play. And you have to come down so far. TJ has to come so far down to make up for the coverage that he's in. He misses the tackle that TJ would normally make. TJ has been a great tackler this year, particularly in open field. And he comes down and TJ misses the tackle. And I think Epps missed the tackle. And it's just a shit show after that. And it's just like, what's going on? And Slay, I'm calling Slay out, man. Slay need to get his head. He need to get his nose in there, man. I mean, I know our quarterback, I know he's a great defender, but I think at times he needs to come up and help the run. I think he's a prima donna when it comes to tackling, man. That's the only thing I look at Slay on game day, and I'm like, this guy won't tackle. He is not interested in tackling anybody unless he absolutely has to. And that could be a problem with us when we go against big receivers, like, you know, down the stretch, like, you know, like.
Well, CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb. He's not necessarily. Yeah, CeeDee Lamb. Like, you have to hit him. You know, where is Slay coming down and laying a boom on some of those short plays where he's lining back, he's back 7 yards. He can see the play developing, and he still doesn't, boom, come right down the hill and lay that boom and stop them from even trying to do the soft coverage. Arizona, on the other hand, they did that to us. They came down, and when our guys got the ball and quit in early spaces, they came down and at least tried to minimize. I think our guys, they, you know, our defense playing so far back, they catch the ball. They have all the time in the world to make a guy miss or you know, gain momentum, and they're running, and just didn't really like that, man. We shut Connor down for the most part, and he got injured, so that was cool. Like, okay, Connor's not in. He won't break one. But those are the things, man. That soft coverage, I think, really put the defense on their heels unnecessarily when we've shown that we can dictate the pace of the game through our defense as well. So I didn't like that coverage in that second half.
This pitcher represents the soft shell coverage, whether that's a soft man or soft zone. You stop nothing. You stop nothing by playing guys 10 yards off the ball. If you want to play guys in a zone and disguise coverage, I'm fine with that. But it was what I was texting you during the game. Was like, it affects everything. It takes you so far off the ball that now the running game is affected, because once the run back gets through the line, your linebackers are 10 yards off the ball. Your corners are 10 yards off the ball, so they can't stop a single swing pass or a flat pass, because now they've got to run up and make the tackle. It worked in the first half when they were off the ball because they have a lot more energy. In the second half, the Cards start running no huddle, and the defenders are gassed, and now they can't run up and make these plays, and you played right into the hands. So Gannon, like I said, he worries me about his – he relies on the shell coverage like a crutch. So when it's something where he doesn't know what to run and it's a third and long play – well, another one was that Rondale Moore, 3rd and 17. Inexcusable to play a sticks defense there, and you're going to give up a little swing pass to Rondale Moore, who just came right. No one is in position to make a play. You cannot give up a 3rd and 17 that way. You just can't. And that's what worries me about Gannon. Now, I'm not going to get too much on him because the defense didn't play that way the whole game. It was just steps and starts. But it's got to be telling when you look at the tape, when Gannon looks at the tape and goes, huh, every time I run those soft coverages, we get our ass kicked. And every time I run a little bit, I'm not talking about aggressive, I'm not talking blitzing every play. I'm talking rushing five guys, mixing man and zone, disguising coverage, putting people in a position to make plays. And he's been doing that most of the time, but he needs to, we really need to stop unless we've got a 30-point lead. We need to stop doing it when we're up 14. We really need to stop doing it when we're up 14. The game is not over in the first half up 14, and he just can't help himself.
He took his foot off the pedal for sure. And you can't do that, man. You know, we were just lucky that the Cardinals didn't hit that one play. You know, you're always one play away from Hollywood Brown is running past everybody on your team. Rondale Moore too. I mean, he's
oh yeah,
he's yeah. fast too, man. So like, I get it, but like when I looked at the coverage, you know, just more to your point with the defense, you could just look and see every Eagles defender like in a, like a U shape almost, or arch rather. You could just see every single one of them, 7 to 9 yards off the ball. So if you're a quarterback, you come up to the line, you can see every defender, every defensive back that they have out there, whether we're nickel, dime, we're just, you can walk up and go, huh. And you see all of this space in between where you can operate. And Kyler's sitting there, and he's looking like, well, it's impossible. Now you start doing simple math. It's impossible for him to come down and stop the slant from Marquise Brown. It's a simple math at this point. Like, wait a minute. Marquise is quick.
Yeah.
I can just get the, I have a quick release. You know, Murray has a quick release. I can get the ball away. And it was just so easy, man. I didn't understand why there weren't even audibles. You know, I'm going to say this about our defense as well, man. You know, Kaiseris, his first year, he looked like he's the one calling the plays. But who's that dog out there that say, we're not playing this coverage? We're about to get beat on right. this coverage. Yeah. Hey, check out. Man, somebody who's out there going, check down. Slay, move up. Bradbury, move. Hey, get down. Right. We'll let the safeties play safety. I think Epps is having an incredible year. And I feel like, and CJ is playing great too, man. Don't disrespect our safeties by playing our really great corners so far off the ball that we're not maximizing our potential on our defense. And the games that we play aggressive with our corners, I think those are the games you see our high sack rate.
Hell yeah.
Because we're disguising it better. It's not just a line of defenders with 10 yards in front of them and any quarterback can see. I can run a post. You can almost madden it. It's like a scrimmage, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. No,
where you're just
you.
Like,
yeah,
oh, okay. I can see this here. I can run out here. It's a scrimmage. You're not even playing. You're not even giving me, you know, even a pre-snap. Maybe you'll run up something. It's just nothing. And I just think if you're going to have two good safeties like we do have, I mean, Epps is up. I mean, oh, man. I like Epps, man. He's probably my favorite player on defense right now because oh, – wow. Yeah. He will really lower the boom, man. Yeah. I like the way he's playing. I think he's been underrated as the timing of the plays that he's made on third down. I think the timing of Epps.
Right.
You know, I think just the timing. Like you said, that Ertz play. Ertz is a hard player to guard. Ertz is a really good tight end. Super Bowl winning tight end. Made it one of the most incredible plays in Super Bowl history that will always be reviewed. He jumped over, dove. For that touchdown, I mean, against the Patriots, I mean, so for him to stop Ertz like that and just continuously, to me, Epps is the only one on our defense that strikes fear out of our DBs. I'm just talking about the DBs, not the line, not our right. linebackers, but our DBs. Bradbury and Slay are great yeah. in coverage, but I want to see these guys play a little more physical, but what do you say when you you're 5-0?
No, yeah.
And teams really, I mean, 17 points. That's not a drilling.
No. It's just not a drilling. It's just you can see the little cracks there, and it's something that's concerning going into the Dallas game. And like you said, we just don't like the soft coverage. I think that every fan is in agreement. You go on any message board anywhere, and even the most uneducated Eagles fan is going to talk about the soft coverage. Everybody sees it from Gannon. And you made a point that we've got nobody that's audible and out of it. Maybe he doesn't let them. Maybe he, that is like, you will run the play that I call. And that I hope that's not the case, but it could very well be. Because he's not got a guy like Malcolm Jenkins that used to get in Schwartz's face and go, you need to simplify this. Remember when Jenkins went off on Schwartz in a team meeting and great said, point. This is not acceptable. And then they started playing better defense. Because Schwartz's soft coverage scheme was really complicated, and it was putting people out of position. And Gannon seems to do the same thing. You're not putting these guys, you've got four really good DBs back there. Don't put them in position where they can't make a play, and trust these guys because they can right. get the job right. done. I said it over text. I will take a one strike death by, you know, a big fatal blow than death by a million cuts every single day of the week. Because if you're killing me just every single, you're giving up every single thing. If Epps makes a mistake or CeeDee Deuce makes a mistake and it gives up a touchdown to Hollywood Brown, just the one, I'm good with that. As long as every other play we're getting in Murray's face, we're off the line of scrimmage, he doesn't know where he's going to go, so he's throwing into coverage and making mistakes. That's what I want to see. Unfortunately, like we'll preview the Dallas game and talk about it, that's what Dallas is doing right now in most of these games. We'll break that down when we get together for that game, for that preview, because that's what's coming up. But we're not there yet. The end of the game, it can't be overstated that the Eagles did get lucky with the Murray slide. He did not slide. He slid short of the first down. It really messed them up because then they had to spike the ball because they couldn't take a chance at having another play. And then, you know, we know what happened next, and it was brilliant. It was the their kicker coming out, and we talked about it. I love this. Miles on the sideline, he was everybody. But I also like the fact that, you know, like if you look at the play itself, it's hard to see, but you can see Milton Williams right there, big old 93 in the middle of the defense with his hand up. And if you watch the play, I watched it over and over again, it does look like he gets a piece of this ball and it goes to, you know, wide right, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. So luck. It was also a block.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you get those opportunities when you're a good team, and I think the Eagles did. So real quick, I did want to show a couple of things from the block, or you know, from the kick that happened at the end. The first one is a TikTok that a guy that I follow who's an Eagles fan, he goes to all the games. He was actually in attendance in Arizona. I think he goes by the Mighty E-Rock. But he takes it from a fan's perspective. So just check this out and tell me what stadium that they're in. I mean, seriously. And the Cardinals fans heading for the exits.
Only thing I can say is fly, Eagles, fly. You know what this reminds me of? When we showed up there. Remember we went to the Monday Night Football game in Indianapolis? When we got to the hotel and we were like, man, there's a lot of Eagles fans in this hotel.
Yeah.
And then we get to the game and we're like, we're looking around Indy and we're like, dang, there's a lot of Eagles fans here. And to your point, man, it sounded like a home game.
Yeah,
it sounded like a home game. And they made that point even when they starting the game. Like, it's a lot of Eagles fans. A lot of Eagles jerseys.
You see the kick. You see the kick veer off. Yeah. And the whole stadium stands up.
That euphoria.
It has to be demoralizing for the home team. Arizona is nowhere near Philadelphia. This isn't like we're going to New York or Baltimore, D.C. This is Arizona. Yeah. And they showed up en masse and made it a home game for the Eagles. I, it was the same thing in Detroit when I went to the Detroit game earlier in the year. We were everywhere. Oh, yeah. Everywhere. And I think
credit to our fan base.
I think that's what really drives the people crazy when we come into their home stadiums and just take over. And it's getting bigger and bigger. The more games you win, the more we travel, baby. So, but there'll be no traveling on Sunday night. I got one more video to show. This is Kazir White.
Good.
This is Kazir White's version from the sidelines. I love this video. Mm-hmm.
Hey, he gonna miss it. He gonna miss it. He gonna miss it, y'all. Yeah. Oh, wide left, wide left. Wide left. Yeah.
You love to see it. You love to see it.
Yeah. Wait, come on, good dog. Yeah! Hey!
Hey, my brother's probably gonna. My brother, this is a little quick point. My brother is a Q. You see that them throwing up the Qs or whatever. My brother's a Q, and Jalen Hurts is a Q as well too. My brother's a Jalen Hurts fan as well. They're frat brothers, if you will. But you see them Q. You give me a dog. So what? Kaiser White must be a Q as well too. My brother watches our show as well, so I'm sure he'll appreciate that. So there's great a couple stuff. Cues, man. You hear that dog barking. You know, they dance to the dog catcher. Dog catcher. Do the dog catcher. So yeah, man, the Qs they do, man. Malcolm Jenkins was a Q as well. So you see his branding. Mm. So they definitely have a brotherhood there. Yeah, man. That's awesome, man. And man, what a win, man. I take all wins, man. I take the ones in the rain. Eagles have won multiple ways this year, yeah? They've won in the rain. They've won a tight one in somebody else's house. And they've had big leads, stalled a little bit, and still ended up winning and still putting that one drive together in Detroit. I think the Vikings was total dominance. So we've won in a couple of different ways while going against – Hey, you see Justin Jefferson grittying again because he's not playing the Eagles. That's why he's grittying again.
Hell yeah.
He's not playing the Eagles.
He's all of a sudden good again.
And Jalen Hurts has the best gritty in the NFL. Jalen does the side gritty. Yeah. See, everybody do the front gritty. Jalen got the smooth. Then he does the, man, y'all not ready for that. He does that little swipe at the end. I love it, man, because I love for players to play loose but serious at the same, because it's football, man. You got to have fun still. You're getting paid buku dollars. Maybe not Jalen yet. Jalen is
coming.
We're getting Jalen for cheap right now. We're getting Jalen at a discount right now. And according to Ron Rivera, he'll take Jalen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely. I'll take anybody right now.
Doug Peterson to take Jalen after the game, give him that hug. Like, I wish he was in Jacksonville.
I know.
Because you think, like, just by the trickle down, the guy that's backing up Jalen, Gardner Minshew, got bounced from Jacksonville. This is after training camp. Mind you, they didn't trade Gardner Minshew when they drafted T-Law. They did not. After camp, they traded Gardner Minshew, who came in, and we still had Flacco, I think, at the time. And then we made that Jets trade. But, like, they weren't even sure if they were going to start T-Law that first year.
Right.
I think they said, we'll just run with it. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that hug from Doug says, man, I wish I had a quarterback like you, man. And T-Law played another bad one this week, too, man. I can't believe he's playing. I'm a big T-Law fan, by the way. I'm a huge T-Law fan. This is not a Jacksonville podcast, but if you got Doug Peterson, our Super Bowl winning coach there, we're going to talk about it.
That was a rough sometime. Game. That was a rough game.
I'm a big T-Law fan. I think I'm so disappointed. I'm such a big T-Law fan. I was at Clemson as well. I'm like a closet Clemson fan at times. Like I like to watch them. I love their uniforms. I love their the atmosphere. the rock when they run down. I love just the atmosphere. And by the way, my favorite player of all time went there, and Brian Dawkins.
Oh yeah.
So
definitely.
I think that's what started as well too. So it's via B Doc. But anyway. So,
yeah, tough game for Jacksonville. I was surprised by that. But before we go, we're coming up on the hour mark, and I wanted a couple things I wanted to discuss before we head out. This one's just a shout out. I just want to say thank God for our offensive line, and thank God that they're going into the Dallas game relatively healthy. We should get Mailata back, but I want to give a shout out to Jack Driscoll for playing his freaking heart out, because nobody saw that coming. And then Dickerson goes down for a brief moment, and then the big man Kelsey goes down. Our hearts stop everywhere. You know, we have some faith in Juergens, but it's still not the same. Dude missed three plays Kelsey missed, and he was back in the game, and he joked about it himself and said, he goes, yeah, I could be a bit of a drama queen. I can make things a little bit more interesting. But he was hurt. He considered it an ankle sprain, but he's like, there's no way I'm missing Dallas. We should have a relatively healthy all five starters on the line should to start that game, which is huge. So I did want to mention that. The line is so key. Lane Johnson is playing his heart out.
We're going to need Mariota.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Mailata. We're going to need Mailata. I'm
definitely.
Thinking. I'm, yeah.
But it's nice to know
we're gonna need Mailata for Parsons.
It's nice to know that
handle Parsons.
It's nice to know that we have him to fall back on, Driscoll to fall back on if Mailata can't go. Yeah, so that's all it is.
Opetta stepped up too Opetta's when he had good. To. Opetta came in.
Well, yeah, came in for Dickerson and played well. Yep.
Yeah, man, and Landon Dickerson is he's proven to be a beast, man. What is it too perfect of a world if we and say Amalu is playing great. Yep. Shout out to Amalu.
All of them.
Imagine if we still had a healthy mentally Brandon Brooks still have there. Can you imagine? I mean, you can't be better than what we are now at 5-0. It's the maximum you can be in five games. Yeah. You have 100% winning percentage. But can you imagine? Because Brooks, when Brooks was playing, nobody was better than Brooks at right guard. Let's keep it real.
Right. Oh, yeah,
nobody definitely. Was better than Brooks. Mm-hmm. High rated, all of that. Nobody was better than Brooks when he was on his game. He went a whole season without giving up a sack. How about that?
Yeah. So, like I said, got to give the line credit. The other thing that's making news, and this is just talk about it briefly before we head out. The Eagles are flying high right now. And they're looking good, and another team in the league is on the opposite spectrum of that in the Carolina Panthers, and there's a lot of rumors that a fire sale could be happening and that a certain Christian McCaffrey could be up for grabs. Now, when the Eagles won their Super Bowl in 2017, this is the only reason I even entertained the thought. They already had LeGarrette Blount, and LeGarrette Blount was running really well, but Jay Ajayi came available from the Dolphins. We bring a Jay in and we get this 1-2 punch that really put the Eagles over the top. You can't deny it. LeGarrette had a great season, but Ajayi came in and had his moments as well, and it really made a difference. So the question is if the Panthers ask for, and the big thing is McCaffrey still has a year left on his contract after this one. He has a buyout year this year, but he's still good through 2023. So in decent enough, I think it's around $10 million a year is the cap hit, eight to ten, because I looked it up today. Is that something that we entertain as an Eagles? Because outside of Sanders, we're sitting there with Boston Scott, Gainwell, and then Sermon. Do we entertain that giving up maybe a first and a fourth or something like that to get McCaffrey?
I think
Philly?
McCaffrey. I think right now because McCaffrey. The past two seasons hasn't finished the season due to injury, and three out of the last four seasons, McCaffrey hasn't finished the season due to injury. I think that Saints pick that we have, I think that'll be a good parlay for us to all the moves that Howie made in the offseason to get that pick and to parlay it into a Christian McCaffrey would be, that's operating GM at his finest right there. I think he's worth, I would give up two first rounders. I would give up two first rounders. We may have to send Miles, which is tough because, dang, man, when Miles is healthy, he's a 4.5 yard plus carrier. Miles has had a solid season.
I think Miles is sitting, if I'm not mistaken, he's fourth in the league in rushing right now. If I'm not mistaken, I'd have to look it up. But the last graphic I saw was
solid.
And so that's, you're right, it's tough. The problem is I'd rather keep Miles in hand like we did with Blount and Ajayi. It could make a difference when Sanders' contract is up, whether who we keep. But I think for this season on the championship run, because the key is, like you said, Christian hasn't finished a season healthy, but he's also been the workhorse. He's also been the every down back. If you bring him in with Miles and you're mixing those two up instead of Miles and Gainwell, I feel much better about Miles and McCaffrey than I do about Miles and Gainwell. And nothing against Scott. I like Scott, but there's a big difference. And I think if you have those guys alternating, you've got a chance of keeping them both healthy. You've got depth at the running back position the rest of the year. So I think if the Eagles are serious about a championship run, this is something they should definitely consider. And I think that they are considering it.
Yeah, I think you're being generous mentioning any of the running backs on the Eagles with Christian McCaffrey. No, he's an incredible I mean, like when you talk Christian McCaffrey, you're talking the only other players' names that should really follow, honestly, is King Henry,
yep,
and Taylor out of Indy, and then there's a different tier after that.
Right.
And Miles is them is probably, you know, just on the lower tier, and Bart Scott is like, I mean, that's not even a mention, is it? So now, yeah. I feel you, man, but I don't know if we can keep Sanders too. I think we may have to give up Sanders, a first round pick, and maybe a fourth, like you said, or something juicy like that. Maybe even N'Kobe Dean. We haven't even played N'Kobe Dean.
I know,
this year.
Yeah, I don't know why he's not found the field, but yeah.
Yeah. So he's just on special teams. Every time I see him, every time I see 17, he's next to the kicker when we're kicking off on special teams. So yeah. I'm just like, damn, what's up with 17? So maybe we'll give up Miles, a first, a third.
Well, that's a lot. I don't know about that.
Yo, but how old is Christian McCaffrey? I think that's probably a good thing. And I mean, that's another rabbit hole we can go down.
Yeah,
you can start,
I
want to
say 24, but not 100% on that. I know he's young.
If he's 27 and under,
let's find out.
I think he's worth whatever we can. I think, but you know who I would rather have, honestly, man? King Henry. I would give, man, can you imagine, because Henry can block as well. We need guys to help Jalen in that block, man. You notice oftentimes we'll go to this empty set where Jalen's completely unblocked. We has no help in the backfield. And then, and remember on that third down play when they had Gainwell back there with him, even on the blitz? Gainwell didn't pick up any blitz.
Right.
That's why, you know, I try to, like, look at every play from, like, a 30,000, like, everything that happened on the play. You know what I'm saying? Not just, you know, what's replayed or what the commentary points out or highlights. Gainwell didn't pick up anyone on the blitz. And they sent, like, eight. Yeah. To our six, and we just didn't have enough players to block. I thought Jalen should have called a timeout there. We don't want to digress that much, but I thought it should have just been a timeout. I just think we didn't have the personnel in on that third down,
right,
to stop what Arizona brought when Jalen took his second sack. But yeah, man, Christian McCaffrey, I mean, wow. Can you imagine having 22 in Philly?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. I think Howie will get the best deal if he makes a deal. I think he's going to get the best deal for the Eagles. So I don't think he's going to have to give up too much, especially with the Panthers being the way they are, him only having one more year. There's the injury liability. There are other teams that are going to want him too. So because San Francisco is going to want him, there's other teams that are going to want McCaffrey right now. But I don't think he finishes the year with the Panthers with the way they're doing right now. I just don't see it. So we'll have to see what happens. I will say this. That it is almost time for big old Dallas week to get started. We've just finished covering about Arizona. It is now officially Dallas week, which means Sunday night, another game where we have to wait and wait and wait, but it's going to be worth the wait. At the Link, fans will be insane. If they travel all the way to Arizona, think of what they're... If I was a Dallas fan, I know we talked about Eagles fans and all, you know, the whole reputation for being wild and how we debunked that last week.
Right.
I still wouldn't come to Philly if you're a Dallas fan this week. This is like the biggest intense Dallas week that we're going to have. 4-1 Cowboys, 5-0 Eagles. This is as insane as it can get for a primetime game. Yeah. This is one of the biggest Dallas versus Philadelphia games that we've seen in our lifetime. And let's hope it is a good game. Let's hope that the Eagles have come away with a victory. We will break this game down on Thursday night if Tubby is able to do that. We're going to try to meet at the same time.
We'll yeah.
Tubby's going to let me know.
We'll sort it out. We'll sort it out.
The plan
we'll
is for out. Thursday, we'll but schedule subject to change. So we appreciate everybody that joined the podcast. Whether you came in for just a little bit on the live stream on YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook Live, whether you're one of our regular listeners on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Castro, Caster, Stitcher, Podcaster, all kinds. We thank you for subscribing. Always, if you like the show and you love the Eagles, if you love your Eagles, then make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel and our Twitch channel. tell your friends about it if they're Eagles fans. And if they're not, if they're Dallas fans, tell them to tune in as well. We're going to try to have a Dallas fan on Thursday to discuss the game as well, and there'll be more to come on that. If you have a question or comment leading into the game or anything about it, you can email us at our email address, which is ali.byrd, that's B-Y-R-D, eaglesdare@gmail.com. Again, Eagles 5-0, Dallas coming to town. It's going to be a crazy week. So I'm going to turn that over to Tubby for his final words of the night.
Thanks for everybody for stopping by the Where Goes There podcast. 5-0, you love to see it. Can't wait for this Dallas preview, but for now, with the win, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. Talk to you guys Thursday.